This is Meet the Movie Press. It is February the 1st, 2019 on the show today. The Batman, Affleck free, Wee Winnell's Invisible Man, and Alita, Battle Angel. Plus, oh my God, peed my pants, the Hobbs and Shaw trailer chat. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. My name is Simon Thompson. It is February the 1st, 2019. If you want to find me and what I do, check out Twitter and Instagram at ShowbizSimon. With me, as usual, are my panelists. Dimitri is a familiar face back again. Who are you? Where can we find you?
My name is Dimitri Panos. You can find me here at Meet the Movie Press on Popcorn Talk Network. Also on Anatomy of a Movie and on the Twitters at DMovies1701. But I am thinking of changing my Twitters.
You keep saying that every week. We need to talk about that.
I thought about that this morning. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What do you think of Dimitri's POV?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay,
we can talk about that later. Kit, welcome back. You're filling in for Scott, who is in Sundancing at the moment. Who are you? Where can we find you? For those people who don't know who you are already.
Hi, I'm Kit Bowen. I'm editor for Screen Picks, also a freelancer for Rotten Tomatoes and Fandango. And my Twitter is at The Movie Kit, and I'm happy to be here again, guys.
And we all went to see. It's good to have you back. Thank you so much. We are trying to rotate people who come in these chairs, and that's fantastic, but we're always happy to see you. So thank you for giving us the time today. Okay. Oh, my God, such a busy week this week. Right, let's kick off with The Batman. So many people talking about this already. Of course, if you want to take part in the show, if you're watching this live, you can do in the chat on YouTube. You are more than welcome. If you're catching up on any of the services like iTunes and Spotify, why not join us live one week and take part in the chat? People already talking about this. Matt Reeves this week, The Batman arriving in 2021. No Ben Affleck. There will be a noir-inspired detective tale feel about it with a rogues gallery of villains. Personally, pretty excited about it. We're going to find out what you guys think about it and then find out what the people in the chat think about it. Dimitri, first of all.
I did send a tweet about this. I am sad to see Ben Affleck go. Mm. I really thought he was a very good Batman and Bruce Wayne. Mm. You need to be good at both. You can't be good at one or the other. And I really thought he did a really good job. So it's bittersweet to see him go. I love Matt Reeves. I think going the detective route...
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm really looking forward to see this new Batman. It's instilling some excitement in me to see a new Batman movie.
I hear it's going to be a younger Batman.
That's what we're being told at the moment. That's what we're hearing at the moment, yeah, which I think is great. A lot of people are saying, obviously, the minute that this kind of thing, you know, hits the internet, everyone's like, here's the person I would like to be Batman.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about Armie Hammer. I'm wondering if they are going for a younger Batman, if Armie Hammer might be a bit too old. It depends on how young they're going. Are they going 20s Batman? Are they going, you know, sort of high 20s? What are they wanting to do? I mean, I think he'd be great. I know there was another show that was talking about this the other day, and they were talking about maybe Rami Malek. And I'm like, no. I mean, he's got a very strong face, but I don't know if he's Batman.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are so many candidates out there.
It would have to be an Ansel Elgort age.
I would think so. That lower end of the 20s. Yeah. Because obviously, to be honest with you, if you just think about Hollywood, and they're not going to hire someone who they just want to do one Batman movie.
Right.
We've seen that again and again and again. Apart from George Clooney. Very happy to give it up.
Val Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer did one. How many did Clooney do?
One.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought it was sort of losing the plot then for a second. No, but I think with that, you want someone who is going to be at least, you know, two movies, possibly three, and possibly, you know, an ensemble movie or someone that can drop into other movies. So you're looking for someone who is going to literally grow into the role over what is effectively going to be the best part of a decade.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you want to get someone who also wants to do it, that level of commitment, and then have room to fit in some other projects that aren't Batman related.
Agreed.
So I think it is going to be the younger end. I think that kind of, I wouldn't go with the likes of the Timothy Chalamet. I think he wouldn't have the face, but I think we're looking around the Ansel Elgort kind of age thing. Maybe Ansel himself would not be a ridiculous choice.
I think
he'd be great in that.
Yeah.
The other person too that could be pretty good is, and I know he's a Scott Mansell favorite, Glenn Powell. Kid.
Yeah.
He could, I think,
Glenn Powell would be great.
Yeah, I think he could pull it off as well. You know, if you're going Army Hammer, my thought would be, then why are you getting rid of Affleck?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is no disrespect to Army Hammer, but I'm just saying, if you're going that age, and again, I don't want to be like ageism, but he might be a little bit higher on that spectrum. If you're going to go young, I agree with you, Simon, within the mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
Would be a good, like, maybe around Batman Year One-ish.
Would they universe. Be wise to think about potentially, and again, this is all conjecture because we don't know, and probably the people behind the gates at Warner Brothers have already had many conversations and are having ongoing conversations with talent about this already. You don't just lose a Batman without having a plan B Batman. Batman? Batman Beyond. They're obviously having conversations with people, but I mean, you know, we'll see where that goes. A lot of people in the chat talking about this. Jack Dennis, Affleck will not be acting in this project, still a producer, and from reports that I've heard, still involved with helping shaping the story, also still has that one film in his contract. The plan is to kill present-day Batman off, maybe in a few years they execute that plan. Plenty of options for Affleck's return. I don't think Affleck will go back to this firework.
No.
He could pass the torch to a Nightwing movie or a Batman Beyond. Bob B saying, Ben is my fave Batman. Although the Snyderverse didn't fully pan out, there was a direction they were going for, and there are some good things in it. Yeah, there are some good things in it. Ben brought this flavor to Batman that fans love. Bale was the best Batman movie. This is from Bob B. However, he's not my fave Batman. He was in the best Batman movies. He was good for that scenario. I think a lot of people are having a conversation about this, and everybody has their own opinions, and I don't think everybody's going to be happy whoever they cast. Bobby saying the Snyderverse was like a steak dinner where the steak and the vegetables were overcooked, but the potatoes were good. I think we're getting a potato standalone movie, part of the DC veggie universe, which would be quite absurd. But now I think absolutely. And Jack Dennis is saying, agrees with Bob B, my favorite Batman too. I would just like to see this arc that was started with Batman versus Superman finish in some capacity. Justice League suggested he was close to retiring, so give him a movie where that can happen. I don't want to see a Batman retires. Yeah. Although we've had Batman Begins, you know. So maybe Batman retires where he goes to an old superhero's home.
Well, I think Ansel would be a good... Actually, Nicholas Holt, somebody else put that in there in the chat. Nick Holt would be great.
Yeah. Nick Holt would be a really good
idea.
But,
you know, I don't know if people out there watch Gotham, but, you know, we have a very young Bruce Wayne right now.
We do.
And he's kind of that sort of, you know, skinny. He's not necessarily the sort of...
But I don't think you want to go too young. No. I just don't know.
I'm just saying now we have like the in-between person. So we had like, you know, 40s Batman. Now we want 20s Batman.
It has to be scaled right, I think. Right. Because otherwise we know the Batman origin story. And we know sort of Bruce Wayne, where he goes. And if it's too young, it's kind of like Richie Rich.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like rich kid. Blah, 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 but this time he fights crime. Bob B saying, unfortunately, Warner Brothers is looking to turn the page ASAP on the Snyderverse. However, the success of Aquaman and Wonder Woman show that it's possible to move forward without throwing away the baby with the bathwater. Absolutely. I think what they're going to do, and Matt is someone who's very much this kind of way with a lot of his filmmaking, he tends to take the best bits from ideas and origins and pull them forward and then add stuff around that, which is really strong and solid. I'm very excited about this project because of Matt Reeves.
Yes.
Same here.
I really have faith in him without reservation as a director and as a creator on all the platforms. Right through the process. I really think he's a reliable pair of hands.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll start a project that he doesn't think all the pieces on the chessboard are the right pieces to have there.
100% agree.
You know, he won't substitute a pawn for like a Coke bottle top. Right. And it's like, well, pretend it's a pawn.
Yeah, and the thing, though, that's going to really suck, again, if you're, you know, we all seem to be fans of Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's one of the better parts.
He definitely was.
So in Wonder Woman, Bruce Wayne factors in. He's the bookends of the movie.
Right.
So there's always going to be that Ben Affleck. It's going to be hard to, you know, wash Ben Affleck out of that cowl, so to speak, because he's already integrated into Justice League, into Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Even if you want to take Wonder Woman, just take it out of, or take her out of Justice League.
Right.
He's in there, and for a reason. So it's gonna be, like I said, it's bittersweet. I thought he did a really good job, and I was hoping he was gonna get his standalone, which I felt he deserved.
Yeah.
And I thought that would have been a good movie.
I would have really liked to have seen that. I'll be honest with you. I have a number of issues with the way the DCEU sort of has played out over the last couple of years. I think it's really undersold itself. Mm-hmm. Whatever part of that process has led to that, I don't know. But I did also want to see, you know, because Ben Affleck loved Batman.
He did.
This is the project that he really wanted to make.
Yeah.
A standalone Batman movie. And he's now leaving the table. Now dinner's being served. And it's really unfortunate.
It is. And he's going to direct as well. I know. And, you
he
know,
needs to direct just something again. I think he needs to get his feet back on that.
He needs a creative sorbet. Clear his palette. And then maybe come back.
Yeah, live by night.
I mean, what's to say that Ben Affleck, if he still wants to direct a Batman movie, again, this is conjecture, that even if he's not Batman, he comes back after clearing his, you know, washing his mouth out, and he comes back, and he does direct a Batman movie at some point in the future. There's nothing to stop him doing that.
That's
and he knows the character, and he knows the heritage. Zeno, I was saying, Simon, I want a Batman in his prime. Batman Prime, by the way, is now two-day delivery. which is about mid... You can pay an extra $6 and get in there a day earlier. Or if you want to delay Batman turning up for a week, you get free $5 for Whole Foods online, which is great. That's the true comic book Batman. I don't want Baby Batman or Dark Knight Returns Batman. No, I don't want Baby Batman. Well, I'm going to get onto that in just a second, because there is another movie that has been announced this week that literally I was like, it made me cringe. It really, really did. We're going to get to that in a second, but it's to do with like a Baby Batman style thing, spin-off. Jack Dennis saying, no, Warner Brothers claims to be one movie at a time, then they're rushing to think Reeves wants a trilogy. Remember, Nolan didn't really think he was going past The Dark Knight. No, he didn't, but the way that studios, I think, have changed, certainly in the last 10 years since The Dark Knight came out, studios are really looking for series. They're looking for something that is a bankable investment to ramp up to or walk away from over a 10-year period. So I think this, even if Reeves doesn't see this as a trilogy, it's kind of like the game where you used to write a line and then fold the paper over. I don't know if people still do this. Yeah. Someone else would write a line of the story. But I think basically what's happening with Hollywood now is like you get two lines. And then, and this happens in the Marvel Universe a lot. I've spoken to so many directors who are like, you have one strand you need to carry through.
Right.
So include that strand, whatever you want to do around that, build out your story and your characters and that. And then if somebody wants to pick up from that strand, great, there's two strands to take forward.
Right.
But all we ask is you have this one strand.
Right.
Include this one thing or take it in this direction in some way. It can be in a minor way, it can be in a major way. We just need this to be the thread all the way through the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they do it. And I think if that's the way they do it with Matt, even if Matt isn't looking at doing a trilogy, he wants to step back and do like executive producer or something, that might be a way they're looking at. There is so much conjecture around this. We don't know. There are a handful of people in an office 5 minutes from here in Burbank who have the answers to all these questions.
That's the thing. Because
this shit doesn't happen without anybody going, like, you know, like one of our listeners was saying, you know, or viewers were saying, they're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're not going to go,
baby talk.
Especially after being burned. Yeah, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to go, oh, well, scrumble up the paper, chuck it in the trash can. Let's just do whatever. There's a lot on the line here.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot on the line. And to a listener's point, and it's something that I've been saying for the longest time, it's like they've reversed. DC was so late in the game, they tried to reverse engineer it, trying to be original, where Marvel really did have a roadmap.
Mm.
They mapped things out, and regardless of whether that one strand you were talking about...
Yeah.
There's still a wall somewhere going, okay, we got this one strand, but then we're going to offshoot over here. There was a plan where DC kind of, like, gave us a trailer for the Justice League in the Batman vs. Superman movie. Mm. And, like, we saw a Justice League movie without being introduced to the flesh-out characters.
Yeah.
We had our, you know, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman.
Right.
But they did it all so half-assed, and... They were just trying to play catch-up instead of trying to play smart.
Yeah.
And maybe now...
It's a difficult game to play and a dangerous game to play.
It is.
Very difficult.
Yeah. So, but it also...
You have to rely on the audience to go through with you on that
right.
as well. And sometimes audiences are very fickle and like, eh, do you know what? I'm done. I'm going to leave it here.
Right.
Thanks.
But we know that Aquaman works, right? We know that Wonder Woman works, right?
Yeah.
But what happens to the other people, like The Flash, Ezra Miller? Like,
is that still in development, right? Is that Flash movie?
It's still, I understand it's still in development,
Right. So, but what, you know, are they, who are they going to stick with? Like, we are, again, Aquaman was a happy accident. They had already gone into production. They couldn't say
literally
no to
his parents, a happy accident.
Right.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So, little tadpole.
Yeah.
So,
that's how it starts.
Taddy.
that's Dimitri's Guide to Sperm there on there the show. Go. Things you didn't expect.
So, but they couldn't say no to Aquaman at that point
because
they had already been committed.
Right.
But all these other movies that they said they're committed to, they can sort of scrap.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot more that's going to come out of this, you know, over the next couple of months and stuff. And I'm pretty sure we'll find out something pretty soon about where they're going with casting for this. But let's leave it there for now. One thing from Zias Bilou in the chat saying, Dylan O'Brien is a choice, but looks more like a Tim Drake or a Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
I think going for a Dylan O'Brien, I think, would be too young.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I mean, people are also saying, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal was born to play Batman. He's not going to do it.
No.
Now he's not going to do it. I really don't see that happening.
Well, he's playing a villain in Spider-Man, so it's
like... Yeah, no, absolutely. So I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, how would you, very briefly before we finish chatting about this, how would you guys feel about the role of Batman going to someone who is pretty much unknown?
That'd be fine.
It's fine.
I don't think they will, though, because it's...
Too much of a risk, too iconic.
Yeah, I mean...
But Henry Cavill wasn't... Exactly.
That's true.
A big name when they gave him Superman.
Superman, they've gone with unknowns because Christopher Reeve wasn't really all that well known either when he played Superman. So
Brandon Routh?
And where is he now?
Poor Brandon. He's been on TV. He's on one of the DC.
He's still working.
But they've always gone for bigger names to play Batman.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, if they get a young upstart, you know, young 20-something like we're talking about, you know, their career is just starting, so it's okay if, you know, even though we know who they are, we can still, you know, see them grow in this role if that happens.
Well, we'll see what happens with that, because obviously we don't run Warner Brothers.
We should.
We've got a couple of good ideas.
I bet you they listen to us, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to keep talking about that in the chat, absolutely do. We're going to move on to something else. And also, coming up later in the show, we are going to be talking about Alita Battle Angel. We all got to see that last night. And the Hobbs and Shaw trailer, which is possibly two of my favorite people in it ever, which is great. So we're going to be talking about that later in the show. So if you're just about to go, I'm busy, or I need the toilet... pause, because we're going to be talking about that later on. Okay, so going back to the thing about young baby Batman, James Gunn this week is going to write and direct Suicide Squad 2, but also as part of that announcement, there is a DC Super Pets movie coming too. Now, I'm really looking forward to James Gunn writing and directing Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
DC
like,
Super
it,
Pets...
Goodbye.
Oh, no, me no likey.
No.
I just, DC, it's a thing. It is a thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
don't know.
Crypto.
I see what they're trying to do, because obviously with Marvel.
It'll be an animated movie?
I guess so.
Just make one good live action superhero movie before you start focusing on the pets.
I can see what they're trying to do. And this week it was announced where there's going to be like a Funko Pops kind of movie thing as well, which I'm sure will feature superheroes in that. But I see what they're trying to do in like a Spider-Man, Spider-Verse kind of animated, let's get a Lego Spider-Man. Lego movie kind of thing. But I don't know who wants this.
Is there anything other than an event thing
on like DC Universe Channel or, you know, Netflix or an Amazon or something. Maybe that's what they're looking for with this. But maybe because I don't have kids. But I don't know.
I don't have them either. I just don't.
I love superheroes. I love dogs. I don't want superheroes and dogs.
I don't.
You know, they've done it. I think they've done superhero pets. I mean, they've had that kind of, you know, subject matter. But I think if they can do it fun and they can do it, you know, for the kids, then I don't have a problem with it.
Just make a good. But before we get into that subgenre, let's write the ship.
Let's do James Gunn doing Suicide Squad.
Yeah, let's do a good Batman. Let's do a good Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Let's just even the keel. Let's write the ship before we start talking about nonsensical crypto movie.
Yeah, no, I'm not entirely sure about that. I mean, it's like. Someone's just said it's like Secret Life of Pets.
Two.
But, you know, I'm like, I don't feel the need for this. It's just Pooper Heroes?
Pooper, yeah.
So let's talk about James Gunn going to write and direct Suicide Squad 2. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know whether this was something that would have been DC. I mean, I assume that because of his success with Marvel and Guardians of the Galaxy, that DC would have at some point been looking to bring him over and use him for something. I absolutely expect that would have been in the cards. Is this a shot being fired across the bow of the good ship Marvel and the good ship Disney to say, we will take him on and we... Suicide Squad 2, knowing James's previous work, a lot of people don't know him prior to Suicide Squad. He does fucked up Slither. Brilliantly. Really dark, really twisted, really clever, intelligent little bits of, oh, that's wrong, but it's also somehow so right.
And you laugh.
Yeah. And it's everything. It's got all those elements. And it's one of the reasons that Guardians of the Galaxy, which I thought was going to be a terrible idea, worked. And it's one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, so good idea. And is it just a to Marvel? Or is it something you think would have happened eventually anyway?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think, look, the first Suicide Squad clearly was a train wreck, but there are elements in that movie that you can make a better
movie out of it. Horribly handled.
Yes.
Horribly handled, but it still made a horrible amount of money.
Yeah. I mean, it did really well
for being a really bad movie.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I think James Gunn, you know, maybe there's a little bit of him saying, suck it, you know, but... He's a good director. He's a good filmmaker.
He's a great director.
And DC would be stupid not to have him come and try to do something for them because, you know, he did. He turned Guardians of the Galaxy into this great, you know, franchise. So, yeah.
Which I'll be honest with you, when I heard about that movie, I really thought it was going to be terrible. And I know people who worked with James on that movie who took the job and were like, we really have no idea whether this is going to be a stinker or a massive hit. We just can't decide. And then as it all came together, they were like, people are going to love this.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that you could have had a great director and a great script, but if you had the wrong people, it wouldn't work. If you had the right people, but the wrong script and a great director, it wouldn't work. So many things could have gone wrong. It just came together like cogs in a wheel. It really did.
To your earlier question, no, I don't think Disney would have let him go. Like barring the controversy, I think they would have kept him within the Disney Marvel fold to flesh out not only Guardians, but perhaps other characters that they might, you know, be bringing in for for the new Avengers.
Yeah.
So I think they would have tried to have kept him. I don't think he would have gone to Disney voluntarily because I think he would have done very well with Disney and Marvel.
Yeah.
But I do think that, in a sense, it is an FU.
Yeah.
It's like, we've got a squad over here that he can probably put together pretty well.
Right.
He's a good guardian, and we've got our own galaxy to take care of.
Jack Dennis saying, I was hoping James Gunn would finally direct Scooby-Doo 3. Eon001, if DC give Gunn freedom, he could do something pretty good. Disney drama aside, Gunn has made two movies that made a shit ton of money and had a decent critical response. No reason to not hire him. Absolutely. Zias Bilu, I did love that Super Pet show that was on briefly on Kids WB or whatever the rebranding was at the time. Yeah. I mean, I love Muppet Babies from the 80s, but I don't want to see a Muppet Babies movie. Scott Boswell saying, Jack Dennis, Scooby-Doo 3 was the Supernatural episode last year. That's true, actually. Bob B, I predict Gunn is going to crush it, and whatever he does with WB, he's locked and loaded, and he's hungry to prove himself even greater than ever. Hell hath no fury like a gun scorned. Absolutely. And Ricky's saying, DC News feels like work to just read. There is so much of it that changes so often. Do you know what? But we do it because we love it. We do it because we love it, Ricky. The other night felt that something that feels tangible, unreal, exciting. Yeah, no, absolutely. And Courtney Whited, welcome to the chat, Courtney. Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite Marvel movie for just that exact reason. It all works so well as a unit. Absolutely. And Courtney saying, Guardians of the Galaxy, Eon001, I want the Wachowskis to do New Gods or Green Lantern. I still believe in them. I still believe in them, too.
Sure.
But I think right now, I think they're starting to... Warner Brothers, with things like this, are starting to realize that they have to walk before they run.
Right.
And I think that they're handling the way they're now looking at it, I think is exactly the right way to approach this.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you think they should recast some of the Suicide Squad?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should.
I mean, Margot Robbie's a given, because clearly
yeah.
she's already.
Yeah, and obviously we had the Birds of Prey teaser this week, right. which was fine.
Yeah. Fine.
I mean, as far as a lookbook of visually what these people are going to look like, I was like, yeah, I like the look of this. As far as getting me more excited for the movie, I don't know if I'm any more excited than I was, but it's certainly a movie that I'm looking forward to.
Me too.
So, you know, it's certainly piqued my interest. Okay, sad news this week. Let's move on to this next on the show. The death of Dick Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was quite sudden. It was middle of the week this week. He was old, 90. Mm-hmm. So, sadly, this happens. But a lot of people will... He was one of those people in Hollywood where he's that guy from that thing.
Yeah, he's a character actor.
He's a character actor. And he's in so many movies and so many TV shows over the years that you could hardly miss him, especially if you grew up in the 80s and 90s. I mean, obviously, he'd been working since like the 50s and 60s. So he'd been doing this for a long time before, you know, I came out of my daddy's wiener. So, you know, he's been doing this for decades.
I can't
decades.
Unsee
no,
that.
True. No, you can't. You didn't. I hope you didn't see it. That would be awkward.
That would have been very awkward.
No, but seriously, he's been around for decades. And the amount of directors and producers and writers who came out were like, I grew up with him in the 50s. I saw him on TV. He was his work and the stuff that he was in, Twilight Zone and stuff, big influence on the stuff that I've created. Dick Miller, obviously, in classic movies. Like, I mean, Terminator's a great one. Gremlins is a great one. Particular favorites of yours, you guys?
Go ahead.
Well, Gremlins, I think.
I mean, for me, Mr. Futterman, but he's been in so many Joe Dante movies.
Yeah.
He's Joe Dante
it
has
was like Joe's muse.
Well, it was him and the other gentleman, Robert Picardo.
Yes.
You know, the doctor on Voyager.
Right.
He's another Joe Dante muse, and I always love when a director like a Joe Dante has his favorites to go to.
Yeah.
Like Dick Miller. And Mr. Futterman's character... In the first Gremlins, he's just hysterical.
Yeah, he is.
You know, you gotta buy American.
Yeah.
you know, and you think they die, and then they show up in Gremlins 2.
Yeah.
So he had that familiar face where a lot of people, I remember him, but he's been in so many
movies. I mean, these character actors who work, you know, every single day of their lives is like, you know, it's... What a great career, you know, what a great life. You don't have to necessarily be the star, but you're just, you're good in whatever, you know, they throw you in and you take whatever you can. So I think he's definitely in that, you know, in that category.
He reminds me of that other character actor, Jeffrey, he worked with Clint Eastwood a ton, and I can't think of his name, but he was in a ton of Clint Eastwood movies. Mm-hmm. He was in Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
He reminds me of him because, again, a very recognizable face.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily, a lot of people may not recognize the name, but they recognize him as the actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, if you look at, when we talk about, obviously, movies that he was in The Burbs as well. He played a garbage man.
Joe Dante.
The Howling.
Dante.
Was a bookstore guy. Gremlins, obviously. Futterman was the first time I saw him. He was the pawn shop clerk in The Terminator. I mean, he was in TV shows like Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yep.
He was in Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight, which I love. He was Uncle Willie.
Yep.
I love that movie. Yep. Anyone who says that movie is shit, I will
Demon
fight
Knight.
You.
I was at Universal.
I won't fight you. I won't fight
he
you.
He will, though.
No, seriously, I bruise like a peach. I don't fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But Matinee was another one. Hey, do we know anybody that dressed up as an ant? When Matinee was in movie theaters?
I know somebody who dressed up as a man.
A mant? Is that a man?
A
mant.
That's a man and ant from Matt. From I call it Matinee.
Genius.
Yes, that was me. I was working for a radio station. I was working for Universal Pictures at the time, doing exhibitor relations. And I actually got a mant costume sent from Universal Studios, and I had to go to local Boston theaters during the movie. I would run up and down the aisles, and then I posed for pictures of people.
That's awesome.
I was Mant.
You were
from
Mant.
Matinee, another great Joe Dante film. I think it's a very underrated movie.
It's a great movie.
Such a good coming of age story.
I recently bought it on Blu-ray because I don't think it's on any streaming services. I mean, you're talking about your experience in the movie theater. Actually, when I was a student, I was in my hometown of South Wales. Matinee came on, and nobody cared about the movie. movie. I mean, it was such a shame. Everyone was passing it. And every single time, I was taking tickets on one of my shifts, and every single person was like, oh, what are you seeing? And they were seeing, you know, whatever, probably Free Willy for the billionth time. And I was kind of like, I was like, well, why don't you go and see Matinee? And they were like, oh, let's have some shit that. Those are, oh, it's about all movies in movie theater. Sounds rubbish. And I was like, no, seriously, go and see this movie. And they're like, oh, Dad, you tried, I'll go and see it. And so they did. And everyone was like, oh, I was good, that was. I liked that, yeah. Oh, that was fine.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, that man, innit? The old man, the wrinkly one. I was like, but no. But they seriously, they all loved the movie. Everybody that came out thanked me for suggesting they see it.
Yeah.
And sorry to any other filmmakers who had movies on release around that time in UK theatres, because I was sending everybody that I possibly could to go and see Matinee.
It was
a great movie.
It really is.
And it's also one of Dante's forgotten movies.
It always
gets overlooked, and it's one of his finest pieces of work.
And he admits that. And
John Goodman's ace in it.
He's so great as a William Castle. Movie. Because the movie, he plays a William Castle-esque. It was an ode to William Castle.
Okay.
And doing these shenanigans in the theater, like sending ghosts on wires. So, but it also took place during the Cold War and so you had bunkers and there was the threat of a missile crisis going on, and yet William Castle, as opposed to the real threat, he was opening up a horror movie in a theater matinee, and the kids had to go see it. There was a little bit of romance. It was good movie, and you had Mant.
But even look at, I mean, some of the other movies. Obviously, we talked about Terminator, but I'm just looking at his IMDb. Just in the span of a couple of years, Explorers, After Hours, Chopping Mall, one of my favorite horror movies of all time, Night of the Creeps, which is genius, Armed Response, Project X, Inner Space, he was in Moonlighting, he was The Burbs, he was in Freddy's Nightmares, the TV show. I mean, Gremlins 2, he had a role in that as well. Eerie Indiana, the TV show, which was great. So many, I mean, God, Unlawful Entry, he was in Matinee, which we just spoke about. He was the voice of Chucky Sol in Batman Mask of Phantasm. I mean, seriously, his work was just superb. TV show, Weird Science, he was in that as well.
Yep.
Small Soldiers, another movie
that doesn't get enough love these days.
Looney Tunes, Back in Action, Security Guard. I mean, all these, the Hole was the last time that I had, I saw him in a role. Was he played the pizza delivery guy. Right. That was a movie they were pushing in the UK. That's a Joe Dante movie, I believe.
So.
Yeah, and they were pushing that in the UK. And yeah, I mean, he's great. He's a great character actor. And there were two people growing up that were always in these movies. There was Dick Miller.
Yep.
And then there was an Asian guy with like a Fu Manchu mustache who was in all the action movies.
Well,
I can't remember his name, but he released a book a couple of years ago. He was an Asian-American guy, and he was always in it. Any action movie, you knew it was quality if he was in it.
Yeah, he was in Big Trouble in Little China.
He was, yeah. He was in pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Bring that one up.
It's either...
Somebody can put it in the chat, we'll check it out.
Look up Big Trouble in Little China. He's definitely in that. I'm only recalling that because it's been on cable. But yes, I mean, Dick Miller... Well, the most important thing about Dick Miller is he worked.
Yeah.
Like, he worked. And no role was too small.
Jack Dennis saying Joe Dante's Bury the X is pretty good as well.
Oh my God, it's great.
I've seen that on streaming services. I've never watched it. So I'm now going to add that to my watch list. One of the great things about the show is, what we love most is the fact
James
that...
Hong.
James
Hong. Ah, yeah, James Hong,
yes,
that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, film nerd Jamie.
We share our love of different movies. And that we can only watch so many movies because of, you know, lives and jobs and stuff like that. So to a certain extent, what we watch is dictated by that. There are so many things that we don't get to see, or that, you know, time passes and we forget, or they sit on, like anybody, they sit on a movie pile. The great thing about the show is that we have such a great community that we want you to recommend things that we have not seen, and we're more than happy to recommend things that we think that you should see. It's all about filling in gaps in movie knowledge, movie references. You don't have to like everything. I can recommend a movie and you can think it's dog shit. That's entirely fine. But it's this sharing of this love of cinema, why we like things. You don't have to like the same things. That's absolutely fine. But it's sharing this amongst the community. So I personally thank you for recommending that movie. I am now going to go and check that out.
It's really good.
Dick Miller sadly lost this week. He will be visibly noticeably not around anymore, and he will be missed. But what What a legacy of work. Mm-hmm. Even as small roles. That's pretty sweet. Let's talk on to one of my favorite stories now of the week. The Upgrade director, Lee Whannell. I love the fact that they've just tagged him onto that movie, which was great last year, but he's done so much more. he's going to helm The Invisible Man, and Universal is retooling its Monsters universe. Halle freaking... Hallelujah.
Excuse me. Thank you, the movie press, because we suggested this last summer.
We did suggest this last summer. This exact thing.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
We said that Blumhouse should come in.
We did.
Revamp. If Dark Universe is going to survive, they're the ones to do it. And
they've
look
done it.
What happens? Ta-da!
We suggested, I think I actually suggested Lee's name.
Yep.
I think this is fantastic. I am a big fan of the Universal monsters.
Yeah, me too.
I always have been, even before I kind of understood how important they are in the fabric of cinema and horror and the real influence. I always love those movies, black and white movies. If you haven't seen them, highly recommend you check them out.
And they're easy to get.
They're very easy to get. And there are box set after box set after box set on like Amazon, or you can pick them up in your, there's barely a secondhand movie and Blu-ray store that I go into that doesn't have at least some of them around. So pick some and check them out. This to me is a absolute no-brainer. Universal have some really good... They have some really good lines of horror, franchises of horror, some of which I think are coming to a natural conclusion. So they're looking for new stuff. Halloween was a great partnership between Universal and Blumhouse. Blumhouse are on a roll. They continue to have this strong relationship. Get Out worked remarkably well for them as well. Obviously, Split and then Glass, both done phenomenally well. Yep. Glass over here is a Universal movie. In other territories, it's Disney, in case you're going, Disney. so that's how that works. And Jason Blum, I've had conversations with Jason several times about this and other franchises. He is very closely linked to Universal. He has an amazing relationship with Universal. So it is no surprise to me that they've got Blumhouse pushing this through. Still amazed they haven't announced the Halloween sequel yet, but it'll come. But this is great. And Lee Whannell, having seen what he's done with the Insidious movies, having seen what he's done with Upgrade, giving him something like The Invisible Man.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
I mean, it can't be any more perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
No, and I'm glad that they're giving him the support, because Upgrade didn't really make great ripples in the box office.
Right.
And sometimes that can hurt a director.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the fact that they do respect him as a storyteller and that they support him. I think The Invisible Man is a fantastic property, because we've already seen enough Draculas. We know the Wolfman. We know the Mummy. We know Frankenstein. I would go deeper into the well. The Invisible Man is a very dark, great horror, Universal classic horror movie. Next, I would love to see The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes, I was just going to say that. I want to see that.
I want to see The Creature from the... I would like to see a great Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
You know, these are
like
characters...
Like a good one.
Like a good one, but there hasn't been one.
No.
Like, they focus on...
Certainly not for this generation.
No, not at all.
One of my favorite Jekyll and Hyde movies is there's a blaxploitation one from the 1970s.
Yes.
Genius.
Yep.
Genius.
I don't think
hokey as fuck, but genius.
Turner Classic Movies plays it almost every October at some time.
Yeah, so
but
good.
There's so much to mine from this universe, and if you're going to bring it together, right, you need people rooted in the horror genre who love the horror genre and can tell a really good story. And I think The Invisible Man today should be... great. And it'll be better than any Hollow Man movie.
I kind of liked Hollow Man, though.
Or Memoirs of
an Invisible Hollow Man.
Yeah.
Hollow Man 2?
Or Electric Boogaloo? No.
Terrible.
No.
Terrible.
Oh, there was a 2?
There was a 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
So one of those 2s, they sneak out. There's nothing worse than
invisible.
The number 2 sneaking out, by the way, when you're not expecting it. But no, it's, terrible. Really. They went through a spate of these straight, and they still occasionally do them. I see them cropping up on like Netflix and stuff like that, yeah. or like clogging the you know the supermarket aisles up at Target or Target as we call it. but yeah, I mean, I the story broke as I was driving into Reuters. And I'd had a pretty shitty morning, and I went in there, and this genuinely made my day. I've interviewed Lee a number of times. I've interviewed Jason a number of times. I could not be happier for two people to have something like this. This is their wet dream.
Yeah.
These are things that they know inside out and they love. And sometimes I'm very nervous about people taking on things that they're super close to because sometimes it could do horribly wrong. But the proof has been in the pudding for these guys. Yeah. They get horror. Lee wants it to be shit your pants scary.
Yeah.
I'm on.
Yeah,
totally.
Taking a spare pair. Yeah. I'll gladly buy another pair.
And totally. Again, just going back to Upgrade was it Full Tilt or Tilt, which is a
yeah.
Blumhouse
right. yeah.
sort of kind of shoot off yeah. that Neon
and it
is
did
a part
well.
Of.
Did well.
It did okay.
Yeah, I missed it. I'm so
Upgrade.
Bummed.
They had expected more. I mean, I'm just being
honest.
Yeah, but
it came out with pretty much no advertising,
right,
generally.
But here's the deal. It was well-received
yeah.
from some critics and
yeah.
fans alike.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that they still believe in Lee Winnell because they looked at his final product.
Yeah.
yeah.
And he delivered a decent B movie.
Yeah.
And now let's bring him over. Let's redo this dark universe.
People talking in the chat. Jack, I don't understand your comment about Forbes. If you want to elaborate on that for me, that would be great. Jack Dennis, maybe would have been too on the nose, but I thought he was a no-brain for Venom 2. I think they're talking about Tom Hardy. Film note, Jamie, I kind of think Shape of Water ruined a redo of Creature from the Black Lagoon from happening. I don't know. I don't think so. I think Creature from the Black Lagoon can be something very, very different.
Yes.
That can be something the darker. I think we're going to see something that is a bit more R-rated out of these. I mean, like the fact that Lee says he wants to terrify people, which is great.
Right.
Do it R-rated. Don't go for a PG-13. Go hard, which Dark Universe, as it was something that
yep.
didn't really want to do.
Yep.
Hollow Man is a weird movie. This is from Jack again. Kevin Bacon getting his creep on.
Yes,
yes
totally.
It is. It's one of the reasons I loved it. Plus, it had Elizabeth Shue in it.
Yes.
So I'll watch it. Mm. So, just as a given. Zias B. Lou film, yeah, it probably pushed it another 3 or 5 years after Shape of Water release. I think we could do one now. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't forget, a lot of people who went to see Shape of Water would perhaps not see Creature from the Black Lagoon because they love the originals. And a lot of people didn't go and see Shape of Water. It was a successful movie, but not massively successful. A lot of people find that kind of movie artsy-fartsy or weird, but they would go and see but you stuck Creature from it and you make it feel like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And people would go and see a horror movie about a creature from a black lagoon, but they don't want to see Fish Man and Lady Get It On. You know, they just I think that they both have similar
movie.
Components. They both have love stories in them.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be very different end
oh,
products.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and
yeah, it's like getting a hamburger has beef in it.
Right.
But a hamburger patty is very different to a filet mignon.
Yes.
Or a steak tartare.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because
both minced shit. But they're very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the patty and filet are cooked.
Patty
so,
and filet.
But
that actually sounds like a cop show.
There you go, patty and filet.
Patty and filet.
Patty
next
and filet.
On the CW.
On the C.
Just saying.
I think Creature from the Black Lagoon has all the great horror elements.
It's my first horror movie I ever saw.
Really?
Yeah. Like Saturday morning, you know?
Jack, thank you for your comment. Yeah, no, I am aware of that article. It's also something that I've spoken to Jason about a number of times in interviews on Forbes. So, yeah. It's a popularly held view, but it's one that we... You know, we actually were one of the first people to talk about last year.
Yeah, we did, because it was failing so miserably, and they
did
that stupid Photoshop picture.
That was terrible.
That was in the trades with Johnny Depp and Benicio
yeah.
del Toro and Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe could have been a good Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Jack Dennis, Jack Dennis talking about
he really could have.
Blumhouse, is that they try to, they truly get horror or they know how to budget correctly. Absolutely. They still turn out shit movies like Truth or Dare or the first Ouija. Yes, the first Ouija movie was something that was an interesting experiment for them. And that was the very early stages of Blumhouse. And that's kind of training wheels Blumhouse. Truth or Dare, yeah, they occasionally do stick out movies that don't work. But so does any production company.
Yeah. Sure.
Not every production body is going to be infallible. And not every movie that any production body, like any director, is going to come out. And sometimes they know they're committed to putting something out. And they know it's not going to be their biggest earner, but it'll wipe its face.
Right.
Happy Death Day was a big risk for them. That was a no-star cast with a... Right. It was like, well, let's see how this goes. And it worked out phenomenally well.
Yeah. Right.
And I think they knew that it was going to be a pretty good risk because they put it into mazes in Halloween.
Yeah.
So they were presenting a product as a major part
Horror
of
Nights.
A, as Horror right. Nights, as a major part of a major event, which nobody knew about because it wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a risk. But I think their risks are calculated, but you know, like anything, whether you're a sharpshooter, sometimes your bullets aren't going to hit the target.
No, not when you make so many things in here.
Their hit rate has been strong.
It's very strong because their budgets are low. Because you said two things.
Risks are low.
Horror and the risk is low because they know how to manage a budget. But two other points. So Ouija, not a good movie. But Ouija, the second movie,
great movie.
Is really good.
It's really good.
Really good.
Michael Flanagan directed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
Michael's great.
He's a fantastic.
Yeah.
He gets horror.
He does. Yeah. He knows him.
So when you talk about a movie like Happy Death Day, I want to meet that woman. Roth, I forget her first name.
Oh, Jessica Roth.
Jessica Roth.
She's in LA doing Junket today for Happy Death Day 2.
Yeah, she's very lovely.
I would love to meet her because she. I can't tell you how many people I've recommended Happy Death Day to, right?
Mm, yeah.
Every single one has come back to me going, you're right.
That was super
that
fun.
That was a lot of fun. And these are people who don't necessarily like horror.
Key.
Can't wait.
Because there's so much humor in it.
Yes.
And she really sells it.
My wife is not a fan of horror at all, generally. But, I mean, I try to get her to watch some so that she can understand my references and things that I talk about and things that I reference. So we've watched a few together. My wife, not a horror fan. When she sees, and I've told this to Jason a number of times, when she sees Blumhouse on a movie, she knows that that is going to be a quality product.
Right.
And
right.
even if she's not a fan of horror, there's something else there that makes it a good movie that she wants to see.
Yeah.
So there is this trust of Blumhouse as a brand, like there is of Disney, like there is of several other things that you could mention. I mean, we could be here all day. But, you know, you just kind of go like, okay, it's a crapshoot. Not every Disney movie is great. Disney have had, like last year, 50% boffo hits, 50% stinking shits.
Sure.
So it's kind of, you know,
Yeah, it's kind of amazing what Blumhouse has done, to be honest with you.
It's tremendous.
Because I don't think there's ever been, maybe besides Universal with the Monster Universe, but there's never really been a company that so identifies with a genre of film like Blumhouse
does. It does, and yet they still have their hands in many other cookie jars, like a Black Klansman.
They're kind of like Pixar in the way that they do this quality work and they make good stories.
Yeah. And you know what else this means? It means that Blumhouse Corner is back.
Blumhouse Corner! Okay, we've only had 15 minutes left on the show. We have a lot to get through. So we're going to touch on a few things very quickly. Candyman reboot. Whoop, whoop. They're talking to Lakeith Stanfield. Not quite sure why I did that noise. I've never done that before and I will never do it again.
Thank you.
Candyman reboot wants Lakeith Stanfield.
Like it.
But they have not yet approached Tony Todd for anything.
Tony Todd, I'm sure, will be in it at some point.
Yeah.
He'll make an appearance.
We talked about that, I think.
I love Lakeith Stanfield. Personally and professionally, he is just an amazing guy.
Yeah.
So ridiculously humble and so just unbelievably talented. Yes, please. Perfect casting.
Yeah.
Perfect
Agreed.
Casting. Fast and Furious 9 will be rockless, according to Dwayne Johnson.
Shocker. I mean, with all the press that we heard about the last Fast and Furious, not surprised at all.
This was on an interview that I saw this week where he was asked about whether he's going to be in it by the guys at MTV, and he was like, no, obviously Hobbs and Shaw, we're going to get to that in a second. So I think To be honest with you, with that, I think he wants to take a break. He's busy. I mean, The Rock is, I mean, I swear to God, he's half vampire.
He has to be. Because
he never sleeps. He's just a machine. I love that about him, but good God, I don't know how he does it.
As I've said on this show, on Anatomy of Movie, whenever we talk about a Rock movie, I want to see the list of movies he says no to.
Right.
That's the list I want to see, because you're right.
I think he says gonna no be in very often.
He's going to be in The Jungle Book. The Jumanji sequel, I think he's pretty much going to be in that again. We already know Hobbs and Shaw. I keep wanting to say Calvin and Hobbs.
It's not Calvin and Hobbs.
It's Hobbs
and
Shaw.
Completely different.
Yeah. He's a little busy.
Yeah.
Zeno Aaron asking a good question, which we're not going to get to on the show today, unfortunately, but I think I might put this out to a panel, to a poll on Twitter. By the way, if you want to follow the show on Twitter, it's Meet Movie Press. The question from Zeno Aaron is, question for the panel, you're starting a movie studio. Who would you pick to run it, Jason Blum or Kevin Feige? Don't answer, because we're not going to get into that now. But worth to think about. We're going to put that out for a poll. So Fast and Furious is going to be...
My name's missing from here.
Fast and Furious is going to be Rockless. That's no real surprise there. Let's, though, switch to Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay. Yeah.
Where the trailer dropped this morning. Oh, I was so happy to wake up to this. It's interesting, though. There is this trend online for before the trailer, there's a pre-trailer, and then there's the trailer, and then there's bits of the trailer with some other stuff tagged on the end.
Yes.
I don't need that.
No.
That's
too much.
Yeah. Give me the trailer.
Just show me a trailer.
Or give me a little bit before. You know, show me a little bit of shoulder or something. Lovely. And then
car
you know,
crash.
take the sweater off. Great.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't then need someone to say, hey, my sweater's off. You know, it's too much.
This trailer went a little over the top.
A little bit over the top. But I mean, can I just say, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to this movie anyway because I really like The Rock. I really like Jason Statham, my brother. I love Idris Elba. But this film, oh my God.
Vanessa Kirby. I love her.
And Vanessa Kirby. But oh my God, seriously. I don't think I'm excited for any movie this year now as much as this one.
Let me ask you a question.
This looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
It does. So much fun. If this were not Hobbs and Shaw, if this were not The Rock and Jason Statham, the first, it seems that it went on for 5 minutes, but it didn't. The first opening scene with Idris Elba, I would have said, what the hell am I watching?
Mm.
Like the whole, I mean, it's taking it out of the realm of like, this is going more into science fiction where he seems to be cybernetic bad guy thing.
Yeah. But I love that.
Once.
I love that. That's cheesy action, baby.
It's cheesy action, but if it didn't
classic
have
cheese trope.
Statham and The Rock as Hobbs and Shaw, like come into it, you go, I'm watching the movie because of these two guys.
Yeah.
And they make it fun. I think the trailer itself overplays its hand and shows me
too
many set pieces. But, as you said, a ton of fun.
Yeah.
It's gotta be, right?
Vanessa Kirby says, we're going to need some help. Cut to.
Right.
I love the whole look and feel of this. Seriously, it's not very often that I get unbelievably excited like some people do with sort of Marvel trailers and stuff like that generally, or, you know, a Disney trailer or whatever. This, I just was so excited. There's nothing about this that I don't like. I know there are going to be cheesy dialogue. I know the action sequences look bananas.
It's
going to make Tom Cruise look lazy. That's how bombastic some of these are. I'm so unbelievably excited about this movie.
The only exception is Tom Cruise would literally, though, really jump out of a window.
Yeah, he would. But just stylistically,
Who's this movie? Who directed this?
I can't remember.
Is it
David Leitch? I know he wrote it. Deadpool guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah. But no, seriously. And spent a lot of time on this movie, and clearly these guys worked together. By the end of that trailer, and I almost never feel this, I was like, I hope they greenlight a sequel.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie yet. And, you know, there's this chance that it could not work. But I'm already going like, more please, yes please, please sir, can I have some more?
Well, I was excited.
Like Oliver. I'm just, yeah.
I was excited when they announced it after the Fate of the Furious or whatever the last.
I may have rolled my eyes for a second, but then I stopped and thought about it and I went, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Some people in the chat, Zeno Arrow, saying, Simon, congratulations on Hobbs and Shaw. Your stunts look great. Thank you so much. to be honest with you, I don't do a lot of work for Jason Statham, mostly the body work.
The body work.
You know, I don't like to see my face.
Yeah, well, the body work.
He's the face of the operation. I'm the pecs and the butt.
You're the butt guy.
I'm the butt guy. What? Butt guy. Skunk 8 movie fans, Fast and Furious can't be more stupid and corny than Fate of the Furious, Fast and Furious, hold my beer. No, I didn't like Fate of the Furious, I'll be honest with you. That's one of the weakest of the franchise for me. Eons 001, I wanted to be more like Final Destination. Oh, okay, that's different. It's a totally different topic. It's difficult to keep up with this sometimes. Senor Nerd, this is the stupidest movie trailer I had ever seen. I cannot wait to see it in a theater. Yeah, no, 100% agree. Rugged English, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is best Statham. Okay, he's pretty good. The banter with The Rock and Jason is out of control. I love it. That's from Eon 001. Zeno Hour, I'm way more excited for this than a Fast and Furious movie. Yeah, I mean, I seriously think it's a really shrewd move by Fast and Furious as a franchise to do these two spin-off movies. And I'm pretty excited to see what they do with the female-led one.
Me too.
And this one, I think, already has proved itself that it's going to be... Yeah. I can see this being one of the top 2 to 3 movies of the year. I think it's going to give at the box office.
As far as box office,
seriously going to give the likes of Marvel and DC with Wonder Woman a run for their money for that top 3 billion plus worldwide thing. I think it's going to be tough at the top this year. It's going to be good for Universal. I think it's going to. I predict that this could actually potentially exceed any of the totals so far for Fast and Furious franchise.
I don't know about that.
I think I would be very interested to see if this can do that.
I'm not saying, look, number one, forget about it's going to be good for Universal. I think it's going to be good for the audience.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good for us. And I really think we're going into yet another exciting, fun year of movies.
Yes.
And I
summer
can't wait
movies,
to
man.
Yeah.
Before we get to the final, lots of things we didn't get to comment this week, but very briefly want to mention Zack Snyder is making a heist movie set during the zombie apocalypse for Netflix. Yes, please.
Let's do it.
Yes, please. Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorite zombie movies
of all time.
It is a tremendous movie. Yeah. I love it. I never get sick of watching that movie.
Me either.
I've watched it so many times. I absolutely love that movie.
And I keep forgetting that Ty Burrell's in that. He's from Modern Family. Yeah. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. He's an amazing asshole. In that movie. He is a spectacular asshole. One of my favorite movie assholes of all time.
You know why I love that movie the most is because it really kind of finally showed zombies in a different way.
Yeah.
They were fast. And you're like, holy crap, you know?
I loved it. I think it's so great. Guys, we need to move on to, let's very quickly touch on Miss Bala, which is coming out this weekend, is a major release. Who's seen Miss Bala?
I missed it.
I have not seen it. I just simply haven't had time. You get to check it out?
You were funny. Elita last night. You missed Bala.
I haven't seen Miss Bala.
No,
it's a remake, right?
It is a remake of a
Mexican movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen mixed reviews. I haven't had the chance to watch it this week. It's likely that it's going to come out at the top of the box office. It's probably going to vie with Glass. I mean, Glass was $16 million last weekend, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
But I mean, you know, I'm seeing mixed reviews for that one, but just haven't had the chance to see it. One thing we did get to see last year, and I want to finish the show on this because we've got 5 minutes, is Alita: Battle Angel.
Yeah.
We were all there last night. I invited you as my guest, Dimitri.
Yeah.
Alita: Battle Angel, I'm going to be talking to the cast, and the premiere is in LA next week. They had a premiere in London this week. Alita: Battle Angel was a movie that I was pretty concerned about. I really thought that this was going to be a film that was going to be all on the screen and very little substance, with an interesting cast, and it is an interesting cast. But I'll be honest with you, it is one of the most spectacular, especially as far as action sequences, I have seen for the longest time. It's different to the likes of Mission Impossible Fallout. It's a different kind of action to that.
Yeah.
The visuals in this are stunning. The CGI in this are incredible. The 3D makes this movie. I very rarely recommend you see a movie in 3D. This adds so much to the texture of this movie. There are moments for me where the effects, because they're so highly rendered, it makes the real world look fake, which takes you out of the movie a little bit. But I love the cast. I thought Alita was great. I thought Christoph Waltz's character was great. Their chemistry is tremendous together. Jennifer Connelly is great. Mahershala Ali is really good. Some really nice dialogue in this. The only thing for me, as much fun as I had with this movie, by the time I was in the car driving home last night, it had left me somewhat. Mm-hmm. It's in that environment. It really is. It's all-encompassing. But when you step out of the bubble, it didn't stay with me as much as I wanted it to. But when I was watching it, I had an amazing amount of time. I've got to be honest with you, and I told this guy's over breakfast. When we saw it last night, we saw it in the Dolby Theatre over at AMC Century City. I'd never experienced that Dolby Theatre before. I know it's your favourite place to watch movies, Dimitri.
It is.
The sound in there is so good. The chairs vibrate. It made me fart.
Sir Gasselot.
It literally, the movie, there is so much the vibrations. It loosened my sphincter, and I couldn't help it, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, and I thought
but
it was the popcorn.
I've never had that sensation. It had butt rumble. I've never on roller coasters, never anything else, so just be warned.
The movie gave him gas.
It gave me gas.
They're going to put that in the ads.
We're running out of time. So, guys, let's get your takes on this. Ladies first of all, Kit, your takes on Alita. That gives me two bums up. Alita Battle Angel.
Just makes me laugh. I'm so relaxed. I enjoyed it very much. I think Rosa Salazar, who plays the motion captured character, completely sells the movie, completely brings you into it. I mean, if she didn't work, then this movie would have fallen apart.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't even realize that you think she's, a real person that you're watching. I mean, you can see some of the motion capture, but at the same time, she's just
staggering.
Such a, rich character. And yeah, she and Christoph Waltz have a great chemistry together. I thought some of the plot points and some of the dialogue or whatnot left me a little like, there was a whole romance element to it that I just didn't buy it as much. So some of that tension or some of that drama for her was not quite as didn't quite hit me as it should have, I guess. But yeah, visually one of the most stunning movies I've seen in a long, long time, and the action's awesome.
A massive compliment for obviously producer James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez. I mean,
this is
one of his best movies.
Yes.
I think it's Rodriguez's probably most accomplished film. He's actually given a huge budget, and they had the faith to give him this budget, and it's Rodriguez doing Cameron.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as close to a Cameron movie without him directing, but his fingerprints are all over it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a spectacular spectacle.
Yeah.
The action sequences, it brings me into a world, and I think audiences, when you get to see it, I think you'll agree, there's a familiarity to it. You'll think, oh, well, I've seen this, but you haven't quite seen it like this.
Right, exactly.
I would highly recommend to everybody in this panel's point, you have to see this in a movie theater.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
Have to. You have to.
I mean, it is really beautiful. And if Alita doesn't work, and by Alita the character, then the whole movie doesn't work. But she draws you in right from the get-go.
It's very engaging.
Yes, very engaging.
And, I thought, too, it's always the eyes that can ruin it. Her eyes, for obvious reasons, are a little bit larger than the norm. But then I've noticed, the mouth as well. The expressions of her smile or just, being passive. I was just drawn in and I bought the emotion that she had. Granted, okay, so the romance didn't work for you. I'm not saying it's the strongest part of this movie. But when she fights, I bought every single minute of it.
Yeah.
And she got angry. I cheered. And this is a character that you're going to go, this is a great movie-going character to cheer and applaud. Because she has moments where you go, yeah.
It's a real triumph. I mean, she really wore this character. She really did. But I'll be honest with you. It's quite rare when there are human characters, or Meat Boy, human characters, who the CGI versions of a human character, so sort of a cyborg, seem more human than the people who are actually really human. And that, to me, is a tremendous accomplishment. Yeah. I mean, there are certain flaws I had with this. There are some great cameos in this movie, which I will not spoil for you. You have to enjoy those. So avoid any of those spoilers online, because it will really take some of the fun out of it. But no, I mean, I thought it was a really accomplished movie. I think they did a really good job together. I'm glad they took their time with it.
Yeah.
Because it really works. There are moments that don't quite work for me, you know, but that's absolutely... But overall, it was really, really good. But you have to sit in a movie theater.
You have to.
Even if you have a really kick-ass system at home and you buy it on 4K, bells and whistles, 3D, you're not going to get the same experience.
And get a vibrating chair. This.
Not even close.
I wondered where you were going with that.
And again, you just have to go off of this rollerball. You could make references all you want.
Clean action sequences. Sometimes, like in the Transformers movies, it just seems like fighting, things going on. You can't see what is what. But this was clean.
And I'm glad you said that because I was thinking about that. It's difficult to do. I'm able to watch and follow it and not be confused as to what the hell is going on here. You saw everything quite clearly. Rodriguez didn't overuse slow-mo. It was used perfectly.
Yep.
It was never overdone or got to the point of being cliche.
Yep.
So you saw everything clearly. Alita Battle Angel is a must.
It's a two thumbs up for me. Yeah. It's flawed, but it's really worth checking out in movie theaters. It comes out on February 14th. So perfect for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's my perfect balance.
It's really good. I really liked it. I was worried about it, but I really liked it. Okay, it's time to go! Dimitri, who are you? Where are you?
You can find me here at Meet the Movie Press and also Anatomy of a Movie, where today we're going to be talking about Vice and The Favorite at DMovies1701.
Kit, who are you? Where can we find you?
Follow me at The Movie Kit on Twitter, Kit Bowen. Thank you.
My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter and see my work everywhere from Forbes to Reuters and beyond. You have a great week. Oh, suggesting for Batman. What about the lead guy from Upgrades? You know that guy?
Logan
Green? I'm just saying. Have a great week. If you like us, tell your friends. Like, subscribe. Catch us on iTunes. Catch us on Spotify. Do whatever you want. At Meet Movie Press is this show. We will see you next week. Have a good one. Watch loads of movies. Go Rams!
Go Pats!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.